Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. Verse 22. We can start reading from somewhere around verse 20. And then we'll come to verse 22. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. We have been doing some good justice to the word follow for a while, and then, you know, just teaching around it on understanding what it means to be a follower. We said the word follow is akolotheo, is one that joins as a disciple, or one that goes right behind and follows the one that precedes, right? So there is always somebody that precedes ahead, and then there are other people that follow. And it's a great thing to follow, and much more, it's a greater thing to follow keenly. Oftentimes, I believe being a leader has to be by God's call. Not everyone can become a leader, because it takes more than just physical strength to be a leader. It takes more than even sometimes natural wisdom to become a leader. I'm talking about a leader in God's terrain or in the house of God. It will interest you to know that there are certain times where people think that, oh, because I'm smart academically and look at my results, all through my school days, I had gotten an A and never had a B. And so because of this, I am wise in the things of God. Well, emphatically no. Emphatically no. There is a very wide disparity between the wisdom of men and one that proceeds from God. And that's why Paul prays for the church in Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, right? And that God will grant unto the church of Ephesus the spirit of wisdom and knowledge in the knowledge of him. So you will always realize that there is a wisdom that culminates or that comes from the Spirit. And it's not natural in its source. It's of a source that comes from a supply of the Holy Ghost, as to a man being born again, filled with God's Spirit, right? So you oftentimes will be thinking that because the fellow is smart academically, they will be naturally smart spiritually. Of course not, doesn't work that way. When you come into a group of people who are being taught God's word, or you come into church, right? What happens is that you need to drop all the knowledge you once acquired from school. We don't have and we don't make use of that knowledge here. And you say, I have 3 PhDs, 2 master's degrees, 4 degrees, right? No, all of those things do not really matter when it comes to church. There is a wisdom that's only found in Christ. And not natural men have this wisdom. Alright? So it's in the same way. The natural man sees following as, you know, a very useless thing to do. You know, not too important. You can always be your own man. And oftentimes you find out people make statements and they say, you have to be you and you have to be that special breed. You have to be that special person, you know. But most of the times, the things of the kingdom are not and do not entirely sound the same. You realize a sphere of influence from the people that God has sent to you. So there is that influence that comes from choosing to sit down, you know, and learn, you know, and listen and be taught, you know, and be rebuked, you know, and be shouted on and be told you can't do this at this point in time and be told, okay, go ahead and do this at this point in time when you don't feel like doing it. So there is always that mind, you know, that the natural man has and says, you can't come and lord over me. You can't come and be boss over me. You can't tell me what to do, right? That's the natural man, and that's how he thinks, and that's how he processes things, and that's how he makes his evaluations on things. But the spiritual man knows that he's not supposed to act like the natural man. And so there's a response the man who is of the Spirit has towards spiritual things. It means that he is not daft in what is being taught, or he's not daft in what is going on. He has a knowledge of what God's word says. And so he, rather than is proud, will be humble, because God's word teaches us to be humble. And he tells us of how he was going to bring down the humble. He was going to lay abase the humble, and then he will what? Exalt, you know. I mean, he will lay abase the proud, sorry, and then he exalts the one that is humble. So you get to realize that, you know, oftentimes the wisdom of the world is different, is a lot different from the wisdom of God. Bible says that it pleased God that by the preaching of the gospel, men will be saved. So oftentimes you find out that somebody who is not born again and who does not really understand what Christ has come to do is seeing preaching as a waste of time, is a complete waste of time. Say, why are you preaching the gospel? It's a complete waste of time. Find something to do with your life. You Christians are not serious at all. You don't have anything to do, you know. And they go to church and all they do is pray and pray and pray and pray. They will not find work to do. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. You see, the natural man normally has a way of thinking. He has a way of thinking. He does not think as the spiritual man. The natural man has a way of thinking, and it's very dark and diabolic, because to him, he can only make use of what the senses have to present and what the senses have to say and what the senses have to, you know, suggest to him. He cannot have a lot of wisdom into spiritual matters. So in the same way, following is a very spiritual asset. It's a very spiritual thing to be able to follow. Right? It's a very spiritual thing to be able to follow. It's a very biblical thing to be able to follow. It's God's method of helping, impacting, influencing rightly his church. It's in following. It's in following. So I'm teaching you something that is going to bring out the best on you. We got to realize that in following, you will be made into something supernatural. All right? There's a making that, you know, becomes supernatural, that makes you supernatural, that makes you a different person as you follow. Okay? Yeah. We're going to look at something interesting today concerning following very shortly. And I will take time to explain on this. We saw that Joshua had followed Moses. We saw what virtues that he had. We saw how Elisha had followed Elijah immediately when he was beckoned on. We saw how the disciples in Matthew 4:20 and 22 had left all that they had and they followed. We're not taking very thorough study on Timothy's following of Paul, but tonight I'll just want to just sway off into that end, and then we will get to explain Timothy's following of Paul. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 10. Second Timothy chapter 3 verses 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. Verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch. In fact, an interesting about this is that Paul had been mentoring Timothy for many years. Many years. In fact, it was said that This writing of the second letter to Timothy is about 21 years after they first met in Lystra. Do you remember when they first met in Lystra? Yeah, Paul had good recommendations concerning Timothy. And, you know, there is some good expansions and everybody is speaking well on Timothy, you know. Was affiliated to Lois. That was in 1 Timothy. So it was said that the second book of Timothy, or Paul's second writing of Timothy, was about 21 years after they first met in Lystra. Right? So Timothy had a thorough knowledge of Paul. A very thorough knowledge of Paul. Timothy knew Paul. Yeah. So, being a companion with Paul, traveling, serving with someone for 21 years, you get to know them quite well. It's almost like you're even married. In fact, the truth is that some married couples do not stay together after 21 years. They are 6-7 years. They are already tired of themselves. Say, why didn't you close the Pepsodent after you were finished brushing? You too, why didn't you put salt in the soup when you served me my food? So by 21 years, oh, my brothers and sisters, you would have known, you know, you would have known yourselves very well. You would have known yourselves very well. So we can tell that Paul actually knew Timothy. And likewise, Timothy had at least gotten to experience quite a number of things about Paul. So you get to know people quite well. Sometimes in a couple of years, you even get to know people quite well. So he knew Paul's doctrine. Right? He had knowledge of it. In fact, the doctrine in the sense that he had heard the messages of Paul for many years, 21 years. 21 years. 21 years. 21 years is not 2 years old. Mm? 21 years. Is 21 years. So he had been hearing Paul preach 21 years. He had heard the teachings of Paul. Oftentimes, Paul's message was the same wherever he went. That's actually the truth. Paul's message was the same. I mean, if you pay close attention to his writings in the epistles, you would oftentimes get to realize some similarities in his writings in the epistles. It means he had emphasis on certain things. Do you understand? Yeah, so you shouldn't be tired of listening to your pastor. Anytime you're getting tired of listening to your pastor, there's a pride that's getting into your heart. Because you might feel, I think I've heard this quite some time now. But that you've heard your pastor's jokes. You've heard your pastor's teachings. You hear them over and over again. And you feel like, I think I hear this. No, oftentimes, the things you actually hear, you don't truly hear. Because if you truly hear, those things are going to be bearing forth tremendous fruits. So the fact that there is still always a teaching on a particular subject means that there is yet still a fruit that needs to be burned in that aspect of your life. So Paul had been hearing Timothy's messages, right, for, let's say, give or take 21 years. Now, here's what that means. And now he says, Paul now says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, Paul's teachings. In fact, when he says, thou hast fully known my doctrine, it must have meant that Timothy had heard the teachings of Paul for many years, because Paul's messages was the same wherever he went, and Paul did not have the advantage of tapes. Just ask yourself, if you were in Paul's time and I was Timothy and I did not have tapes, like the way I'm having a tape with you right now, would you be able to say, I have fully known my teacher's doctrine? Just think about it. I mean, just 2 seconds. Some of you are already saying, right? Yes. So, you get to realize, let's say there were no tapes around, no pod being around. Say we are meeting at Legon. That's good. That's going to be, you know. That means you wouldn't know your teacher's doctrine. Your teacher's doctrine. Do you understand? So you must begin to see it in this way. So Paul's messages were the same everywhere he went. He declared the same gospel over and over and over again. He had heard Paul's defense of the truth. You know, had severally heard Paul make defenses on the truth. More, you know, confrontations of the gospel. He had heard Paul make references to certain Old Testament scriptures. I mean, the guy was just knowledgeable. So Paul is confident enough and he says, but you have fully known my doctrine. Now, anybody who is a follower, I must be able to say this about you, right? Is there a good one? Is there a good one? You have fully known my doctrine. Now, doctrine is the word didaskalia. Didaskalia. It means teaching, you know. Doctrine is the same word teaching. It's the word didaskalia from the word didasko, right? So, which also deals more for teaching. So, Paul is saying that this guy, Timothy, you have fully known my teachings. My teachings. My teachings. It's also the word instruction. Instruction. You have fully known my instruction. It means that everywhere that I go and whatever I stand that I teach or preach is something that you know. So one of the traits of a good follower is that he fully knows the doctrine of his teacher. He fully knows the doctrine of his teacher. And that expression, fully knows, comes with years and years and years of following. You have fully known my doctrine. You have fully known my doctrine. You have fully known my instructions. That which I have taught, you know, the things that I've taught you by precepts, by example, right? The things that I've taught you, I've taken time to explain to you in God's word. It's like you have stayed so long that you now have knowledge of these things that I teach you. So it's one of the traits of a good follower. In fact, I find this particular trait as one of the most important traits of every follower, is that he knows the doctrine of his teacher. Right? We're still dwelling on the word doctrine. Ephesians 4 verse 14. Ephesians 4 verse 14. Ephesians 4 verse 14. You must be able to know what your teacher teaches. And you must be able to teach it the same way. Remember, it was the same Paul who was telling Timothy, the same doctrine that thou hast received, commit the same doctrine to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So he so much trusted Timothy that Timothy knew his doctrine. Right? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of didaskalia, by every wind of teaching. Every wind of teaching. You see, oftentimes, it's amazing when somebody says, I choose to follow you, and I've been with you for 3 years, or I'll be with you for 5 years, or I'll be with you for 7 years, and I've been with you for 10 years. No. If you have been with a man, you will know his teaching. Just like the way Paul was able and confident to say this about Timothy, that Timothy knew what he taught. Carried about by every wind of doctrine, every wind of teaching. So oftentimes, there are winds of doctrine that are blowing up on every side. You are a disciple. You call yourself a disciple. You can't teach the things your teacher teaches. You have not learned enough. So these are things that we must come to the knowledge of. So one of the traits of a disciple is that he can teach exactly, not something else, exactly what his teacher is teaching. He can teach it. He can pick it. He'll teach it. And it's the same everywhere, the same message, the same emphasis, the same gusto, right? He can teach the words of his teacher. He can teach the emphasis of his teacher. He has the doctrine of his teacher. There are many things that I've not taught you, but you find yourself doing them. Why? Because you have not learned what it means to know the teaching of your teacher. So, whenever the wind comes, winds of doctrine, different kinds of doctrine, different kinds of teachings. See, everybody will fail and you will succeed. Amen. A disciple, your teacher doesn't talk like this. Everybody around you will not prosper while you prosper. Receive it. Find a disciple, giddy giddy, in the midst. He's shouting amen than everybody. He's not a disciple yet. You are going to respire, to perspire, to testify. You are going to doesn't make any sense. I don't even know what I'm saying. But you he doesn't know the doctrine. He's an empty-headed person. In Jesus' name, anybody fighting against your destiny, they all die by fire. Come on, shout fire. One disciple is in there. He shouts fire everywhere. Somebody's even wondering, which person is doing this person's destiny like this? For the person to be shouting fire, fire like this. You see, he does not know the doctrine of his teacher. Let me tell you that doctrines and there is that right doctrine, which is explained by God's word. See, they are lying in wait, full of cunning craftiness. All they do is they are waiting to deceive believers. Say, yeah, okay. Your grandmother, your great grandmother, they are doing you. Say, I believe they are doing me. Yeah. Can you even remember? That's why you went out one day You hit your leg against stone, hit your leg against stone, hit your leg against stone. You say, yeah, it's true. Last 2 weeks, it's true. It was. They have not still learned. So, oftentimes, they are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Every new teaching that seems to become a vogue, they cling onto it. They say, there's something that's here. You see them trooping. Ooh, 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 ooh. And then probably they call it a revival. Might not necessarily be. Might not necessarily be. You see, when you see a revival of the spirit, a move of the spirit happening in a place, all that you see is Christ splattered out everywhere. The true knowledge of the gospel emphasized on. Men not willing to, you know, become anything prominent in the flesh, but all that they ever want to become is to be giving to God and his cause. A true revival will have men gather and they pray several hours for a move and the power of God's spirit. Not for things, or not for the reasons why they think it's right, or not because they want to acquire some other things elsewhere, is that men's hearts are right there. And all they want to see is light be in every dark space. And that's Jesus shining forth. So oftentimes, what we think is probably some kind of move of the spirit, it's just a play on of emotions. It's a play on of emotions. And that's why we don't have many outlasting moves of the spirit. Right? So we must be careful to know what is the emphasis. What have we been taught? That's doctrine. What do we believe? What do we really stand by? What do we really uphold? What is our emphasis? What is our focus? What are the things that we highly esteem amongst our midst? What have we been taught in understanding this? Is understanding doctrine, is teaching. Everything that you have been taught, the whole precepts of everything, is what you actually know. So you get to realize that there are many winds of doctrines that lie in sleech. They are waiting. By the sleight of men, cunning, craftiness. Men are crafty. Crafty in their nature. Say, sow 1,000. Tomorrow you get 2,000. Cash. 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 Say, let's, Charlie, you get 500. Yeah, I get 500. Charlie, I get 500 too. Say, yeah, I get 500. So make we put them together. Maybe put down, yeah. Right here, I know so if 1,000 cities that. Yeah, so Moko, so you come out, then you will take 1,000, then me too, I could take 1,000. I'll be with you. You see, those are not hearts. Even unbelievers can think this smart. I have showed you a scripture where Jesus says that the children of darkness are more wise than the children of light. Because it is a natural thing for, you know, a man to think this smart. Who doesn't want to give 1,000 so they can have 2,000? I mean, that's a very good investment. Even myself, if you came to tell me, give me 1,000, I'll give you 2,000 the next day. Makes a lot of sense. But I can't give you 1,000. You say, give me 1,000 because the Lord demands 1,000 of you. I don't know if he's going to come back. And of course, you can be, you know, expectant that he's going to come back, because the Lord actually, when you give to him, obviously, he's not interested in just taking all that you can give. Right? But it's very cunning. It creates a very, you know, selfish desire for giving. So you know the manner, right? The doctrine, sorry. You know the doctrine. It's like you've been taught, you know it. Anything that you hear, that is not it. Because you've been taught, you are smart at knowing it. Henceforth, we know more children tossed to and fro. You know what it means to be tossed to and fro? You know what it means to be a pendulum. You see how a pendulum moves? See? Back and back. Back and back. Back and back. Back and back. Today you believe it. Tomorrow you don't believe it. Tomorrow you uphold it. Tomorrow you don't uphold it. Today you cherish it. Tomorrow you don't cherish it. So one of the things that we must get to know in following is doctrine. Right? 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. Still on doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from their faith, right? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So there are doctrines of devils, right? Doctrines of devils. There are teachings that are devilish. They are right from the devil's mind. Verse 3, speaking, verse 2, kindly have, let us have verse 3 and verse 4, speaking lies in hypocrisy, right? Having their conscience seared with hot iron. It means that these are teachings that are not true. They sound very true, but they are not true. They sound very reasonable, but they are not true. Bible says they are teachings of devils. So that's why you must be able to know, as a good follower, you are sitting, you are learning, you are teaching, right? Your disciples as well. You are receiving, you are teaching. So the Spirit is speaking expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirit. You know what seducing spirits are? They are lying spirits and teachings that are demonic in their base, and they will be speaking lies in hypocrisies, and they will have their conscience sealed with iron. Number one of it, which is a doctrine of devil, a very major doctrine of a devil. That's what, you know, Paul writes to Timothy, and he tells him that, hey, you have known my manner of doctrine. You've known my doctrine. You've known my teachings. You've heard the things that I've taught for 21 years and over. You've been sitting there. You've been hearing me defend the gospel. You've been hearing me preach the gospel right from the time I saw you at Lystra. It says, number one, forbidding to marry. Do you understand? Forbidding to marry. You say, you can't marry because you need to be whatever. Is a doctrine of the devil. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. Forbidding to marry. Forbidding to marry. Forbidding to marry. Forbidding to marry. There are so many things that happen today, and you hear very strange things. Say, you don't have to marry. Because if you marry, God's Spirit will leave you. And as a man of God, you don't have to marry. Because the Spirit is not real when you marry. No, there are several benefits of getting married. And also, there are several disadvantages of getting married. In fact, Paul oftentimes will advise that if you are burning in your body and you can't control yourself, rather than have several, you know, circumstances, you know, to last and to cause yourself to fall into several other sinful mistakes, get married. Get married. So it's actually a good thing to get married. Nobody's stopping anybody from getting married. Right? Once you get somebody who loves the Lord, serves the Lord with you in the vision that you walk in, plan to get married. In fact, we're going to have marriages, young marriages. I'm trusting God for that, for all of you. Right? Young marriages, so that you can get married. Nobody is saying don't get married. We are saying don't get married to the wrong person. Because when you follow that, when you follow somebody, you get married to them, and then they take you out of what God wants you to do. That's dangerous. So, forbidding people to marry. Eh? Commanding to abstain from meats. Meats. Naturally, advise people. No, not people, myself. St. Pascal. It's like, no. Reduce your meat intake. But it doesn't mean I'm saying I'm abstaining. Abstaining means you don't have to eat some kind of fish in water. And you don't have to, you see, fish with scales. You don't have to eat them because they are demonic. Say, you don't have to eat pork. Do you know some people who say that? I've not said anything to them. I'm just teaching what Paul is telling Timothy. Abstain from certain meats. Say, you can't eat pork. If you eat pork, you will be unclean. Okay. Say, when Jesus was preaching, the spirit entered the pork. And ate pork. For me, the way I eat pork. I mean, I'm not saying I eat pork, but when I get it and it's available, I eat it very nicely. So call it Bradshaw's. I mean, a pork that has the pig that has the name of a human. That's a miracle. Say, Bradshaw's. There's Bradshaw's at the corner. I said, Bradshaw's. I don't know any Bradshaw's. No, we are talking about pork. That's what we're talking about. So they're saying that forbidding to abstain from meats, they are doctrines of devils. They're not of God. Doctrines of devils. They do not have their origins in God. See, because when Jesus preached, the spirit entered the pork. Okay. But the pork ran into the sea. That means we are not eating any kind of fish. We are not eating tilapia. Because tilapia at that point in time was in the water. When the pork ran into the sea, tilapia was in the water. So if the pork is possessed, you are saying we shouldn't eat pork. Okay, we've understood you. We are not eating pork. But we should eat what? Tilapia and salmon. But the pork moved into the river or the sea and it drowned there. That means all other fishes cannot be eaten. Yes, all other fishes cannot be eaten. In fact, you can't taste salt because many of the salt materials that we have their natural organic basis. It's just that now they probably come with some iodine extract. So we are not eating salt. We're not eating fish. Even let's say it wasn't a sea, let's say it's a river. Okay, we're not eating fish. Nobody should eat fish. It means you can also eat fish products. You can do omega-3. Say omega-3 is very healthy. It's healthy for the heart. You can't do all of those things. All of those things were infected by spirits. You see, it's just a baseless argument. But if you don't know what your teacher has taught you, you say, revelation. I generally will advise a very subsidized intake of meat, but I'm not saying abstain from meat. I mean, it should be very subsidized. Health-wise, it's even more beneficial to do fish than you do meat. That's okay, but we're not saying don't eat it. If you eat it, your spiritual power will go down. Your spiritual power will go down. When you eat pork in the evening, a pork in the realm of the spirit comes to pork you, and it comes to be smelling. Hey, brother. That's not what we ask. That's not what Paul says. These are doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. Now, this is what he says. He says, commanding to abstain from meats. Listen to what he says. Which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Ooh, nothing to be refused. It means if you can, if your conscience allows you to eat snake, fine, you can eat snake. Your conscience allows you to eat crocodile, go ahead and eat crocodile. Your spiritual power is not going to go down. Your conscience allows you to eat snail. Enjoy yourself. And let's not have doctrines of devils. He says, for those who know the truth, every creature is God and is good and is of God, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Verse 5. Don't listen to these things. But oftentimes, when you have not been present in meetings, you get to realize you don't know the doctrine of your teacher. You don't know. And sometimes you're easily tossed to and fro. Ba, ba, ba. Hey, baby. Hey. You're swinging in like a pendulum. It's up. It's down. And he says, for it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. Are you listening? Paul tells Timothy, if you will preach these things and put your hearers of constant reminding in these things, he says, thou shalt be a good minister of the gospel. Thou shalt be a good minister of the gospel. If you can tell your people these things, God calls you a good minister of the gospel. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Oh, I want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, good teaching. If you can put your members in remembrance of this, if you can teach your disciples, remind them of these things, it says you are a good minister of Jesus. That's all we want Jesus to tell us, is that you have been faithful. Pascal, you have been faithful. You have been faithful. You're a good servant. Says, if thou shalt put your brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus. I see people becoming good ministers of Jesus. They'll become good ministers of Jesus. Is that they will preach the gospel as it ought to be preached. No adulterations, no spookism, no turning and twisting of scriptures, no lying to the people, not coercing them to do things they do not want to do, not putting fear in their hearts, not teaching them to believe things they are not supposed to believe. You know, you will be a good minister of faith in the gospel. You will fill the hearts of the people with faith. Whenever they come in, they are afraid. They leave out lions ready to roar at any situation and fight it head on. He says, you will be a good minister of faith. You'll be a good minister of the gospel. I see someone becoming a good minister of the gospel. Seeing someone becoming something that God has positioned them to be. They will preach the gospel. They will teach the gospel. They will teach it soundly. And they will nourish people up in the words of faith and in good doctrine. So, You must come to understand this. Come to understand this. You should be a good minister. Still on doctrine. So they are seducing spirits and doctrines, teachings of devils. And do you know what these teachings of devils do? They intend to nullify and make of no effect the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Whenever we amplify sin over what Jesus Christ has done, we amplify the devil and his power over God's power to save, and of which we wouldn't. We're going to teach people to avoid sin. We're going to teach believers not to go in that direction. But we're going to teach them also that even if they do, there is an advocate, one that speaks on their behalf. So you must come to this, the doctrine of your teacher. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13. Doctrine. We're still on doctrine. So who is getting blessed in this place? Till I come. Give attendance to reading. Do you know what it means, reading? Yes, reading. Till I come. Paul is telling Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading. Minister of God who doesn't read. Future not bright at all. Till I come, give attention to reading. Make sure that you are reading the Word of God. Reading. You know what it means? Reading, to sit down and read scriptures. Read books recommended by your pastor. Read them. Eat them. It says, till I come, give attendance to reading. To exhortation is the word to preaching. So preach. Are you listening? And to doctrine, to teaching, means you are listening. You know, we're going to have a great church. I'm telling you. A very great church. And many other several thousands of great churches will spring forth. Yes, I believe it. I believe it. I believe this strongly. I believe it strongly. Churches all over the world. God is entrusting this in our hands. And we are going to be good ministers of the gospel. Yes, good ministers of the gospel. Good ministers. Good ones. Great ones. So till I come, give attendance to reading. Make sure you read. Don't just be somebody who just doesn't read their Bible, just doesn't read books recommended by the teacher. You are just empty-headed. It's like, you have no dealings with reading. You have nothing to do. It's like you are just walking. Your notes, you learn as you write. You don't read them. It's like you are just there. You are not doing anything relevant. You are just moving about. No. Give attendance. It means you pay attention. Special attention to these three things. In fact, those are the things Paul is telling Timothy to do as a minister of the gospel. Is to read, is to preach, is to teach. Yeah. Yeah. Pay attention to these things as they come. And then in 3 verses after, he gives him a very strong command. 16. He gives him a very strong command. We must hear what this command is as well. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Do you understand? Unto the doctrine. And he tells him, continue in them. As a disciple, you take heed of yourself. You're not just teaching. You're teaching what you have been taught. The same way, you that's taking heed, is to pay special attention to. Beware of yourself and of the things that you hear and teach. And the things that you have received of me, continuing them. For when you do these things, you will save yourself and you will also save them that hear you. So everyone who is a follower must pay special attention to the words of their teacher. Is to know the words of your teacher. Is to know what your teacher teaches. Is to be able to teach it the same way. Is to be able to lay emphasis on it the same way. You know, how many of us believe that God has put on my life a very wonderful ministry to teach? How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that? That something has changed about my teacher. There's something wonderful about him whenever he teaches. Do you believe that? Do you see that? Do you see that? I mean, I can see it. I right now, I'm on my bed. I'm teaching you. All these things, I'm on my bed. I'm teaching you. See, you can take that same word. Take that same flow. Take that same input. Take that same mind and teach it again, and it will be as powerful as it comes to you now. Yes, it will be as powerful as it comes to you now. It will be as powerful as it comes to you now. It will be as powerful as it comes to you now. You listen to the audios. You see, my teacher has started a series. Rehearsals, I've taught on it. So I'm going to rehearse track 1, track 2, track 3, track 4. I'm going to teach the same thing. And then you pick track 1. You listen to it. Say, disciples, I'm meeting you today. Say, this is what pastor has taught. I'm coming to teach it in the same spirit of what he taught. And you realize, somebody, you say, it's like we understand what you are saying. So you must come to understand this so that you can know what the doctrine of your teacher is. And then you teach it the same. So teach it the same. Are you listening? Teach it the same. In the same spirit. Teach it the same. Teach it the same. Pick the audios. Listen to them. Go and teach it. Teach it the same. It will have the same effect. It will have the same effect. Listen to it. Listen to it. Sometimes you must even just have it just playing and you are praying. You know, oftentimes, maybe you should pay attention to this. Anytime I listen to my teachings, I don't know, but my heart just opens up. I can feel it in my spirit. I always tell, this thing comes from a depth of a place. I don't know where it's from, but it's very different. I take my own teachings and I listen to them myself so that they can bless me myself, because the teachings are different. The teaching is from a source. It's from an anointing. So it benefits the vessel itself. Sometimes the vessel can be pouring out and pouring out and pouring out and pouring out, and he himself is not becoming a blessing by what he pours out. So you take the same teachings and then you listen to it again. So if I am listening to the teachings and at a point in time, I will say something under the influence of the anointing, and I have to take notice of what I've said under the influence of the anointing, and I take it and I put it to effect. So everybody is listening. Are you listening? Everyone is listening to you. All I'm saying to you now is not something that, you know, I've practically sat down and I've written out and I've explained word for word. The things I just look out for and I just put them on my notepads and I come and I teach them. So if I can do this, it does not mean that, you know, it naturally comes to me, so it will naturally have an effect in my life. I'll have to pick it and I'll listen to it again. Are you listening? So listen to them again and walk in them. Make sure you milk out all that comes out of the word of God that comes to you as you listen to it. When I listen to it, just my heart opens up and I'm like, ah, this thing comes from a place. It's different. This thing is different. I know it. I know this thing is different. It's like seeing Messi play and say, Messi is different. I mean, this guy is different. So you pick the same teachings and you listen to them. Right now, we're going to have streams of teachings. Our website is ready. I've just not released it. We're going to have streams of teaching. Streams of teaching. You will have several hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of teachings to listen to. Right? So we will walk in that consciousness. We have a small, beautiful website. Have all our teachings there. Videos, songs, we're going to have. We're going to record them nicely. Cut them in songs. We have our recorders ready. We'll put them into there. We'll just be blessed by them. Yes. So everything is ready. Nice website. We'll use them on trials for a while. Just a few of you. I'll let you try out how they'll be. The series will go on. And then we'll start listening to them. And start praying with them. Very soon I'll be releasing. You know, there are times where I'll go somewhere. Just go spend some time to pray. I'll release prayer psalms and tongues. You have special folders for that. And they'll culminate into several hours. Or you have me praying with you for several hours. Yes, I'll be praying with you for several hours in tongues. I'll just be praying with you for several hours. I trust God. When you play those audios, your room will open up. I know what happens in my... You would have that atmosphere just pulling you out to pray. Yeah. So it comes with fully being around. You know the doctrine of your teacher. I'm saying this so that you start taking advantage of the audios that are coming. We're not just releasing them because we want you to have them or we just want to release them. We're releasing them so they can start to have those effects in your life. So take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine with this teaching. It says continue in them. Continue in them. Make sure you are continuing in them. Make sure you are continuing in them. You are continuing in them. Continuing in them. You're holding on to them. You know the teaching. You know the terrains. You know the things that you have been taught. You teach it the same with anything that is not consistent with what you have been taught. You don't listen to. You don't pay attention to. So you get to understand, as you do this, you begin to grow. And your disciples begin to grow. And God looks at you and is like, wow, that's a good minister. Because the people are nourished up in faith. Nourished up in faith. Not tossed about to and fro by every wind of doctrine. This is the life of that man that listens and knows the words of that teacher. You know, when I did not yet receive this gift of this special gift, I used to sit there and I wonder how, you know, you're going to run a church. Because a church, you're going to be teaching and teaching and teaching. Ever since I received this gift, I sometimes sit there and I feel I probably will not be able to teach all that I have to teach, even if I'm giving 50 years. I'm serious. Even on doctrine, we can have a whole separate teaching on doctrine. Yeah. A whole entire separate teaching on doctrine with different emphasis. We're just at doctrine. We're going to move to manner of life. A whole different thing altogether. And I'm like, God is so vast. This man is so vast. So vast. So, manner of doctrine. I mean, doctrine, teaching. Didascalia. The things that you have heard. Things that you have heard, you take them the same way and you teach. Things that you have heard, you take them the same way and you teach. They are foundational doctrines. I'm yet to build all of those doctrines because I've taught them one way or the other. Foundational doctrine on tongues, foundational doctrine on baptism. Foundational doctrines on sanctifications. I'm yet to teach on all of those things. Like, I'm yet to teach on them so we can have audios on them. And then we keep them for you, for your listening. So, you get to realize that as we build on these foundations, we're becoming good ministers. Nourishing up the people in faith. And we are taking heed of our doctrine. We're not just preaching anything. Just, you respire, perspire, conspire, attire, retire, supplier. Come on, shout, retire. See, the whole, See, what did you hear? See, I didn't hear anything, but I heard some tire for you, tire for your auntie. Tire for your grandmother. See, and we orchestrate and substrate and procrastinate and substantiate. Come on, shout fire straight. Say fire straight. What's the meaning of fire straight? I don't know, my brother. We are shouting after the pastor. See. We're shouting after him. Say, come on. Come on. He said, Pastor, preach. He said, yeah. Can I preach it like I'm feeling it? Preach it like I'm feeling it. Can I preach it? Yes. Yes, and David is a father's boy, and he's in his father's farm. He's looking after his father's sheep. And anybody doing you will not become a David. You will not become a father's sheep. You will not stay in that place for long, but you will go up the throne. Come on, shout the throne. Come on, shout the throne. And that throne. Ah, la katumba, 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 katumba. The whole church, everybody. We are all enjoying ourselves. You ask them, what's going on here? Say, David will not be like David, who had to take care of his father's sheep. But you didn't know taking care of his father's sheep was part of what God wanted him to do. I mean, just sit down and think about it. Just think. Use your head just a little. You know, you know that he was there to be trained so he could go. Say, come on, come on, come on. Yeah. Yeah. Jump, 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 jump. And as you jump, everybody around you, who is not your friend and who doesn't, they die. So it's something we must pay attention to, is doctrine. Are you listening? Teaching. 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 The things you have been taught. The things you have been taught. The things you have been taught. Things you have been taught. The word of God that has been laid emphasis to you. The things that have been shown you through the scriptures. Are those things you cling onto. So this is very vital of following. Very vital. Teach what I teach. Teach. You are not anybody's follower. You are my sheep. You are my disciples. You will teach what I teach. You've seen what I've taught you. Just teach it. Yeah. You go into a place. Don't be afraid to speak God's word to people. Don't be afraid to prophesy. Are you listening? Yes. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to touch the sick and to say, be healed. Don't be afraid. No. No. They all constitute and form part of teaching. You're going to be a great, wonderful minister of the gospel. One that loves the Lord and serves the Lord and does the will of God. So, as part of following, we just looked at following in doctrine. Have notes, write it down when teach. If you stay long around, you know all there is. And what will just be happening is that we'll keep building on and building on and creating more depths in the things that you have already known. That's what happens. That's what happens. Normally, it's not different. It's just greater depth to what you already know. So it's steeper. Right? It's more deeper. Depths. There are depths of what you know. Depths of understanding to what you have received. Amen. So, as part of knowing what it means to follow, is following in doctrine. Are you listening? Following in doctrine. Following in doctrine. Following in doctrine. Following in teaching. You know the teachings. You're established in the teachings. And you teach others to do the same. Amen. Father, thank you for such a wonderful, wonderful session. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the eyes of the understanding of these precious ones are being enlightened every single day. and thank you for making a supply to them of the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation in the knowledge of you. And Lord, that they come to the knowledge of the hope of what is your calling for them and what is the riches that they have and all the inheritances that they have in the saints. That they come to this knowledge of what it is that resides in the power of your resurrection. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that these ones are growing firmly and stronger every passing day. Growing stronger every passing day. Growing stronger every passing day. And they will do well in Jesus' name. They are going to be great followers. It now makes a lot of meaning to me what somebody shared with me as a word of prophecy yesterday. Makes a lot of meaning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for great men and women of God who will walk in accordance to your will and who will do your will in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Amen.